This podcast episode is brought to you by an actual thing, not something arbitrary that I pull out of my keister, and that is this summer's art teacherin extravaganza. You guys, I am thrilled to announce that we have opened up the dates for two separate art teacherin extravaganzas. It will be held at the beautiful Montgomery Bell State Park in Burns, Tennessee, which is about 40 miles away from Nashville. For the first event, it will be held on July 25th and 26th, which is a Sunday and a Monday. The second event is going to be held the following 2 days, the 27th and 28th. On those 2 days, Extravaganza, we'll call it the first one, then we're calling the second one the sequel. We will be having three additional presenters besides yours truly. I'm excited to share that Danielle McDaniel, who is otherwise known as the Clay Lady, I can't say enough great things about Danielle. I could have an entire podcast about her. I should have her on the podcast. Writing that down, gonna make it happen. She is phenomenal. She's been teaching clay to children for probably over 30 years in a multitude of different ways. But what she's most known for is going into schools and leading an entire school or an entire grade level through a clay project. Can you imagine doing that? It's like art teacher to the next level. I mean, she has leveled it up. So she is one of our presenters. My amazing friend, David, who if you attended the extravaganza last year, he's going to be presenting and sharing with us not only how to create your own YouTube channel, but also how to create videos that your students are going to love to watch and edit them. He's going to walk you through editing processes for whatever kind of device you have. And then there's my friend Jen. Jennifer Alvarado is another art teacher who I work with who is amazing at bringing in, you guys, she's been doing this for years now. She brings in artists to work alongside her students. She's also phenomenal at creating some of the brightest and most colorful projects with her students. It's like eye candy. So I'm thrilled to have these three people coming on board this year to present alongside me. We will be doing something different on all 4 days. So technically, you could come to the extravaganza the first 2 days, you could come to the sequel, or you could come to what I'm calling the whole shebang all 4 days, and you will get something brand spanking new, different from last year in case you attended, and things that I've not shared on my blog, on my YouTube, brand new projects, lessons, and things for you. Big shout out to my friends at Dixon Ticonderoga for being our amazing sponsor, providing us with the best art supplies possible to get in your hands so that you can take those things and experiences back to your students. Want to find out more? All you have to do is hop over to my Instagram. You can check the link in my link tree. When you are there, it'll take you directly to the website where you'll find tons more details all about the summer's art teacherin extravaganza. Okay, now let's go to our normally scheduled program. And today I want to talk to you about something that I've been experiencing a lot lately, and then it recently came up in one of the art teacher Facebook groups, and I was so thrilled. Well, not thrilled, but I was just glad to see that other people were talking about it. One person threw it out there, and then tons of people piled on, and they were all feeling that same thing, and that is exhaustion. Pure the weight of the world on your shoulders. My legs feel like lead. How is it only 1 p.m. and I want to curl up and take a nap even though there's a class in here? I could totally sleep through it. That level of exhaustion. And I have been feeling it for probably a good 2 to 3 weeks now. It's like a wall sometimes. And I'm not kidding when I'm telling you my limbs literally feel like lead. When I sit down in my chair to teach, there have been times when a kid needs help, I roll. I'm not proud to tell you that I literally, thank goodness my chair has wheels, I will roll myself over to where they are to help them out. And I, like I said, was not thrilled, but just, it's good to know when you're not alone in things and that it's, I guess, not just you. But it got me thinking, how can I work my way out of this exhaustion? What do I need to do? What do I need to change? Because there's a long road to go before I hit my summer vacation. And I can't wait that long to recharge these batteries now. So let's talk today about how you can get through until the end of the year, how you can kind of hang in there, not just hang in there, because who wants to be doing that? Who wants to be like that little poster that we all had in grade school of a cat, kitten, little kitten dangling by one arm and it says, hang in there. I don't want to be hanging like that little kitten until the end of the year. So how can we, you know, get past this exhaustion and really, I guess, full force go, well, full force is probably not going to be me, let's be honest. How we can just make it and make the most of it until the end of the year or just until, let's be honest, spring break. And then hopefully we'll have some time to recharge. So I've come up with my list of my top 8 ways to kind of combat this exhaustion. But let's just first go a little bit easy on ourselves and just, like I said, know that we're not in this alone. I always feel like the longest stretch, the time when I find I hit art teacher and fatigue, is always that stretch between winter break to spring break. Unless there are some snow days in between that long stretch, it is a very difficult time to be an art teacher in land. And I think a big part of that is it's wintertime. And, you know, our natural way of being is we're supposed to be in hibernation mode. Nature tells us that, right? The sun here goes down around 4:30, 5 o'clock, And as the minute I walk in the house, I go straight upstairs and I put on my pajamas because that's the mode that I am in. That's just winter. And I think that it's just our nature that we're supposed to be tired. This is hibernation time. Not only that, but because the sun is down at 5 o'clock, we're really missing out on that vital vitamin D. And I think that that really is vital. I mean, we're finding that out now that it can really help combat any of the illnesses that we're currently facing right now, right? So those kind of factors make it so that this stretch is a long one. So go easy on yourself. I mean, I was really beating myself up, like trying to drink more caffeine, thinking, what am I doing wrong? What's going on? Should I take more vitamins? It's nature, y'all. It's nature. But we are going to have to kind of get on the other side of that, right? To make the most of this valuable art teacher and time that we have with our kids. So here's some things that I've been doing and I plan to continue doing to hope to battle this exhaustion that we feel. So my tip number one for how to beat exhaustion actually comes from a book that I'm reading right now and loving. It's called Eat Smarter and it's by Sean Stevenson. Sean actually has a really great podcast. I've listened to several episodes. I strongly recommend it. Just search his name. I think it's called The Model Podcast. But if you search Sean Stevenson, you'll easily be able to find it. He's a really smart dude. So I'm not going to lie. There's been times when I can listen to about 30 minutes before I'm thinking about other things. So I have to tap out for a while and then just kind of digest all of the things he shares. But in reading this book, which I'm still making my way through Eat Smarter, one of the things he says to do, if you're feeling exhausted, is to start your day with water before even coffee. So normally when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is make a very strong cup of coffee. But In his book, I was recently reading, he said that, you know, when you get up in the morning, you take a shower, right? You wash with water. Well, he suggests that you also do an internal bath of water by drinking up to 20 ounces, a nice big tall glass of water, the first thing when you wake up in the morning. Why? Well, because for the last 8 hours, give or take, you've gone completely without any sort of water. So I have been starting my day that way. Just while my coffee is brewing, while I'm slowly trying to wake up, drinking a very tall glass of water. And I have to tell you, I feel like it's helping a little bit. I do feel like, mostly because it just feels so much healthier for me to put in a nice tall glass of water before drinking something that I know that's not great for me, which is a very strong cup of coffee. I have a really hard time throughout the course of the day remembering to keep drinking water. I mean, I'll usually grab some water when I'm having my lunch, but I do have plan times. I do have like 5 minutes to spare here or there, where what I started doing was setting my phone alarm that's for a water break. Because you know what it's like. We're running around filling paint trays right now. I'm getting glaze trays ready because we're still in the middle of glazing clay projects. And I always feel like I don't have time to do something, or I forget to go and do the thing, like go get some water. But I've started putting little water alarms on my phone, which means I either have to walk down the hall. We have a great filtration system in my school. So I just get out of my room for a minute, which is always a good thing. Go down there, fill up my water cup, and come back. It takes max 2 minutes, and now I've got my water. But I'm telling you, setting a couple of water alarms really helps, whether it means to go get some water or if it means to just stop what you're doing and enjoy drinking some water. So try setting some water alarms on your phone just to make sure that you're getting enough water throughout the day. Drinking that 20 ounces in the morning is great, but having an additional, I would say probably 2, maybe 3 more of those tall glasses of water throughout the day would be fabulous. And if you're like me, sometimes you just get so bored with drinking water, why not add a little something to it, right? You could add lemon, maybe add some tea is something that I've been doing. I've been brewing tea in the morning when I make my coffee, and like a green tea or even a fruit tea is one of my favorite things right now. And when I brew that tea, when I get ready to leave in the morning, I pour it in a cup with some ice, and I've been adding that to my water just to give it a little bit more flavor throughout the day. Some other things I've tried lately adding to my water is some, you can buy liquid elderberry, which I've heard is really good for your immune system, which I'm trying to make sure to stay on top of that right now. Liquid vitamin B12 is something else I've been adding to my water, as well as apple cider vinegar. Now, I will say this, apple cider vinegar has a very strong smell and a very strong taste. If you add just a little bit to your water, it's okay, but it's definitely something that takes some getting used to. So if you want to balance it a little bit by even adding a splash of juice, might not be such a bad idea. Okay, so one way to combat exhaustion, stay hydrated. Something else, since we're chatting about this and water, food affects my mood big time. Big time. And it also affects my level, my energy levels. So let's talk about food and let's start with breakfast. Some of you, I've never been one of those people who could skip breakfast. I've always just been mind blown by people who, number one, are like, yeah, I don't eat breakfast. I wait until lunch. How do you do that? Or those people who are like, oh, I just forget to eat. Who forgets to eat, y'all? Never in my life have I ever forgotten to eat a meal. That is just not something I do. And in the past, when I would get up in the morning, what I would usually do is when I would have my coffee, I'd have like a kind of a carby kind of breakfast, right? Some oatmeal, which, you know, is great, or some toast, which is fine. But I have to say, or even like cereals, when I eat those kind of carby things, here's something I've noticed for me. This is just me personally. I promise we're not going to talk about food this whole podcast, but I kind of crash and burn. I am really hungry, I swear, like an hour later. And I'm always like, oh my gosh, I just ate and now I'm really hungry again. So in reading this book, Eat Smarter, I promise I'm not being endorsed. But one thing I have learned is that if you eat more proteins in the morning, it kind of keeps you satisfied longer and it also brings up your energy level. So if you're not a breakfast eater, I challenge you to try to start. If you are a breakfast eater and you're like having the same feelings I had where you're hungry, it's like the minute you get to school or you have to have a second or a third breakfast, which is totally fine. You should definitely eat when you're hungry. But you might want to try having, I don't know, eggs. That's what I've been doing lately. Having an omelet in the morning with some vegetables added in has really helped. Now I know what you're thinking. I don't have time to be cooking up omelets in the morning, Stevens. I don't know what kind of time you have. Well, I ain't got time either. Let me just tell you. So here's some tricks on that. Sometimes in the evening time when I'm done cooking dinner and the kitchen's already kind of a mess anyway from cooking, I'll go ahead and cook up a couple of omelets and just put them in containers and put them in the fridge. That way in the morning, all I have to do is microwave it, or if I don't have time to eat at home, I can take it with me to school. So that's a thought. I've gotten this year really good at meal prepping, and I always meal prep when the kitchen's already a wreck. I mean, you might as well just do it, get all the food out, and then you can clean everything up when you're finished. And I think it's important that when you eat your breakfast in the morning, that you do make time to enjoy it. I'm one of those people who always makes excuses like I don't have time to do X, Y, and Z. I'm trying to force myself to stop saying that because there is time in your day for things that you give importance to. I'll say, oh, I don't have time to do X, Y, Z, but yet somehow I magically find time to spend a lot of time on my phone, right? Somehow I magically manage to find time to spend an hour watching some garbage on Netflix, right? Bling Dynasty or whatever. I had time to do that, but I didn't have time to do what was truly important or something that was really going to benefit my health or help me combat my exhaustion. So that being said, if you feel rushed in the morning and you don't think you have time to eat, then prepare in the evening, take it with you to school, and then enjoy it when you get to school. But make sure you do enjoy it. Make sure that you sit down and use silverware. And I say that because there's been a time or two when I've used my hands to eat because I, quote, didn't have time to even clean silverware. Are you kidding me? Yes. So enjoy it because it's when you sit down and you catch your breath and you take a look around, you can help yourself kind of put things in perspective to combat that exhaustion. You don't really have to be going 90 miles an hour. What's the worst that can happen if all the glaze trays don't get filled? Well, then the kids might have to work on something else or take turns glazing. But in the end, what's more important? The fact that you sat down, you took time for yourself, and you've nourished your body, and now you have more energy, or the fact that they all have their own glaze trays? So perspective is something that I struggle with because I very much have a hard time seeing what's beyond right in front of me. But I've noticed that when I sit down, I relax, and I take a deep breath, I'm able to kind of refocus everything and just kind of put things in perspective. Okay. Now, thing number three, since we're talking food, and I was talking about meal prep, I think it's super important to pack healthy lunches and healthy snacks to help you combat exhaustion. Last year, I think that I probably consumed about, I ain't proud to say this, 20, 30, maybe more frozen burritos. I was on a frozen burrito bender every single day at lunch because I had myself convinced that I just didn't have time. I only had a 30-minute lunch, as most of us do, and I would usually consume those burritos with my bare hands, usually with paint all over them. There had been a time or two when I would set the burrito down on my counter or somewhere else. It was completely unsanitary, only to find it later because I'd lost track of it or have a student point it out to me. Y'all, that is no way to be living. I was hungry all the time. And when you're hungry all the time, you're just going to be grabbing whatever you can. So I was eating a lot of candy, eating a lot of just junk food because I knew it would give me a little spike of energy. And I also knew that it would taste good and kind of get rid of that hunger. This year, though, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do better. I'm going to save a little money. Actually, ends up saving quite a bit to do meal prepping and save time. And what I usually do is I actually did it today during my lunch or during lunchtime. It's Sunday. I just, like I said, while the kitchen's a wreck, make a mess of food. I usually cook a ton of vegetables. I usually make some sort of starch like rice or farro or quinoa. I try to grab a protein. I'm a vegetarian, so that one's a little tricky, but adding a lot of nuts or any, you know, beans, those kind of things that have proteins in it. And I make bowls, those veggie bowls where you just pile as much as you can into, I use jars, pile as much food as I can into a jar and make one for every day of the week and a couple for my husband. He's not as keen on them as I am, but I make a couple to spare just in case. And I have to tell you, it's been great. There's nothing like having a really solid, nourishing meal at lunch to kind of get you through the rest of the day. I mean, duh, right? Duh, we know that. But in our I don't have enough time, then it's just easier sometimes to grab what is frozen and then in the refrigerator, right? Or in the freezer or the freezer section or a frozen meal. Not only are those things expensive and they really add up, but they're just not that great for you. So I challenge you, if you're feeling exhausted, try doing some meal prep. And if you're like me and you don't really know what you're doing in the kitchen, then chop up a bunch of vegetables. Green beans is going in one skillet, and I've got sweet potatoes in another skillet. And like I mentioned, quinoa, and then a little bit of tofu or whatever you like to eat because you want to make it enjoyable, right? And then pile all that into those jars or whatever container you have. You're probably way classier than me and you're not using recycled peanut butter jars. And eat that. I promise you, you will feel a lot better for having eaten something nourishing, and it's going to help you get rid of that exhaustion. And let me say, having some healthy snacks on hand really helps. I made the grave mistake of buying 4 boxes of Girl Scout cookies because the Girl Scouts at my school are just such nice little, I mean, they're such sweet kids. And every time they came by, I was like, sure, I'll buy yet another box of Samoas and tagalongs. Y'all, that is not how you want to be snacking. I kept wondering why I was like having this spike of energy and then just crashing and burning Girl Scout cookies. So now I donated those to my custodian and I now have nuts, lots of nuts and seeds and that kind of thing on hand, which is a great way for me to get a little pick-me-up of energy and really keeps me nice and full. Okay, I just spent a whole bunch of time talking about food and water. But guys, that is really, that's your fuel, right? Throughout the course of the day. And I know it seems like I'm going on and on because I definitely am, but what you put in your body is what your body is going to be able to burn to beat that exhaustion. Now let's talk about sleep. full disclosure, one of my favorite things in the whole wide world is to stay up late. I love staying up late. There's something so magical about when the house is quiet and I can listen to my tunes, or I can listen to a podcast. I can be in my sewing room where I'm sitting right now. I can watch something on Netflix and paint or draw. It's just my favorite. But I always know that I'm going to regret it, because when the alarm goes off in the morning, it's just drag-ass in time. Pardon my French. I mean, I'm just beat. And I always know that usually it hits me around Wednesday. If I've stayed up late for too many days in a row, I can really start to feel it. There is something magical about getting enough sleep. And those mornings when I've gotten enough, it's just like an extra energy boost throughout my veins, especially throughout the course of the day. My mood is better. I can get so much more done. My thoughts are much more clear. I cannot stress enough getting enough sleep. So 6 to 7 to 8 hours. With you mamas out there and papas are probably like, oh my gosh, I haven't had that happen since before children, right? But that is going to really help you make the most of this long stretch before spring break. Something else that definitely exhausts me are the constant requests for my time. And so this tip is, we have all, me especially, I'm the worst. We've got to get better at saying no. Because extra tasks, outside requests, you name it, they are taxing our time. I think we chatted about this a while ago. I mean, if you have a bank account and the money inside your bank account is your time, and you're constantly spending your time on other people, other things, things that you don't want to do, but for some reason you feel obligated or you don't want to, quote, hurt somebody's feelings, and you're spending all of your time, pretty soon your reserves, your bank account is going to be drained. There's not going to be anything there for you. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, will saying yes, is it going to fill my bank account? Is it going to, help me in the long run achieve goals that I have? Or is it going to drain my bank account so that I don't have anything left in reserves for myself? And if you're honest with yourself, and when somebody's standing there asking you, can you make a poster for me? Can you draw whatever? Because, we get these requests all the time. Is this going to really fill my bank account or drain it? And if the answer in your mind is drain it, you might want to just take a deep breath, smile. If you're like me and you just say, I'm going to have to get back to you because you can't bear saying no to somebody's face, then just shoot them an email or say it to their face, a line that my husband taught me a long time ago. Thank you so much for your kind offer. Thank you for thinking of me. I'm going to politely decline. Oh, it's like gut-wrenching to even say it right now to you. And I'm like imagining saying it to somebody. But in the long run, you just got your time back. You just put more money in your time bank account, and that's going to help you beat that exhaustion. So learning to say no is going to make it so that you'll have more time for yourself. Another thing is, sometimes when it's hard for me to say no or feel like I'm letting somebody down, just think, is this really going to matter in 5 years? Is it really going to matter in 5 years that I told so-and-so, I just don't have time to do that poster for you, I'm so sorry? No, it's not going to matter. They're not going to remember. And if they do remember, then they are terrible people and you shouldn't associate with them. But you definitely aren't going to remember. What you definitely don't want to remember is the exhausted state that you were constantly feeling because you couldn't say no. So practice in front of the mirror. Say it any kind of way you need to. Get better at it. It'll help. Another way you can fight exhaustion is something that I'm working on. By the way, when I share these things with you, it's always me working on these things with you, alongside you. I'm feeling the exact same thing, going through the same things as you. So just know that I'm not a pro. I'm just in the same boat. We're paddling together, y'all. Here's another thing I'm working on. Do not start or end your day with your phone. Or for that matter, in the in between time either. The first thing that I used to do when I would wake up in the morning, because my phone would wake me up, is I would go ahead and open my phone, and first thing I would do would be get on social media. That's a terrible way to start your day. And I think everybody knows that. But I think because so many of us have our phone alarms on, it's just like your finger is doing the walk-in, so to speak, before you even know it. Next thing you know, you're staring at Instagram, and then 10 minutes go by and you're like, what in the world am I doing? So now what I do first thing in the morning when I'm attempting to drink that big tall glass of water and I'm waiting for my coffee to brew is I've started reading. What? Like books. Where have they been? I don't think I've been reading books for a long time because I've just been so absorbed with my phone or just my laptop or whatever. Most recently, I just finished, I know we chatted about this in the other podcast, The Tao of Pooh and the Day of Piglet by Benjamin Hoff, which I loved. And now I'm reading Eat Smarter. I've got a whole bunch of books that I kind of went on a bender. I bought online, and I've got them all stacked up in the order that I want to read them. And I'm so excited because I've been starting my day reading. Even if it's like reading one page, two pages, just enough, like by the time I've finished my breakfast and downed some of my coffee, I've at least spent my time, I feel like, learning a little something, right? Another thing you could do, this is a book that I've bought, I haven't tried it out yet, is meditation. I've always wanted to give meditation a go. David Lynch, the director, is apparently really into meditation and talks about all the amazing benefits. So I'm thrilled to kind of tiptoe into that. And I've also think that kind of writing a quick note of gratitude, even in my calendar I have, I've just been writing down, I usually do it at the end of the day, some fun things that have happened throughout the day, something silly a kid said or something cool that I saw. I'm just jotting it down. So that could be a way that you could start your day, right? On that kind of positive note. And then throughout the course of the day, so that I'm not staring at my phone too much, what I have started doing is saying, okay, I'm only going to look at my phone for 5 minutes. I've got 5 minutes. It's my lunchtime. I want to relax. I've even gotten to the point where I'll set a timer, because you know how time gets away from you when you're on your phone. Set a timer, say, I'm only going to stare at this for 5 minutes. When the timer goes off, put your phone down and go do something else. And then at the end of the day, turn off your phone at 7 p.m. I mean, unless you have, of course, family that you need to stay in contact with, maybe shut down all of your apps at 7 p.m. then, if that's the case. But get away from it. Go back to reading a book, write down what happened to the day, spend time with the people that live under your roof. But don't start or end your day with your phone. And of course, I think something else that can help you combat exhaustion, as crazy as it sounds, is to create. Maybe you're feeling exhausted because you are what I call deficient in creativity. In my mind, I think as creatives, we have to be taking what I call our creativity vitamins. And if we're not creating, if we're not taking those vitamins, then we start to experience a deficiency. We feel kind of funky. Something feels off. It's because you're not creating. You don't have to go out and buy giant canvases. You don't have to go out and run a studio. These are all things that I associated with creating, right? In my mind, I wasn't going to create unless I could be painting big canvases and in my own space and showing in galleries. Creating takes on many different forms. Creating can be baking cookies because you love to, or planting some flowers, or rearranging furniture, or anything where it just kind of satisfies you. And it's going to be unique to you. It's going to be different from what anybody else is doing. Make sure, though, that you're doing it. Doesn't have to be every day, but when you get that little funky feeling and you have a little bit of extra time and you put your phone down, go do it. Go draw a picture, sit and color with your children. Go do imaginative play with your children. That's a form of creating, right? Just make sure that you make some time to do it because that is going to really help. Exercise, of course, is the one thing that I think we all know helps with exhaustion, but that's something else where for me, I'm always like, time though. But it's just like the whole notion about being an artist. Exercising doesn't mean that you have to put on a special outfit, go to a special place, and work for a certain special amount of time. No, exercise can be dancing around your house with your kids or your family or whomever, by yourself. That's what I like to do. Exercise can be going for a walk with a friend after school around the track. Exercise doesn't have to be fit into a certain box. It just has to be you moving your body. It doesn't even have to be breaking a sweat, just you moving your body. And I think that especially if you can do it with a friend or your spouse or your family, it's going to make an even bigger difference. Not only that, but if you have children, it really helps set the tone of, look, exercise can be fun, it's good for us, and we can enjoy it together. And of course, this is a big one. This is my last means of combating exhaustion. Forgive yourself. And just remember, you can't pour from an empty cup. I know if you're listening right now, you are probably a teacher. You're probably an art teacher, and you are probably very dedicated, and you probably want to do the very best that you can do. It's something that I know I struggle with. I want to do the very best that I can do. And most days, I don't feel like I am doing my very best. Most days I forget directions. Most days I forget important vocabulary. Most days I don't have time to share all the artists that I want to share with my students and talk about all the things that I want to do. And most days I beat myself up over it. And that doesn't make for a happy art teacher. And if you're not a happy art teacher, if you're not a happy person, you're definitely not going to be a happy art teacher. On the days when I cut myself some slack and I just enjoy the process of teaching and really listen to the kids and we have conversations and the lesson takes twists and turns that I never thought it would, those are the days that I enjoy the most and I have a feeling my students will remember the most. Our kids don't care if our lesson plan is perfect, if our videos are chef's kiss amazing, or our visuals or presentations are just, you know, Instagram worthy. They don't care about that. What resonates with them is if we are happy and we're teaching from a place of happiness and we are happy to see them, happy that they are there, we're enjoying being with them, we're caught up in the moment. That's what means the most to them. So, if it means closing your laptop and not finishing a presentation or not getting that video done or perfect, but you get more sleep or you spend more time doing what you need to do to make yourself happier, then so be it. Give yourself some slack, drink lots of water, pack some nutritious food, make sure you snooze a little, don't forget to create, make sure you say nah to anybody who wants you to do something that's not going to fill your bank account, and go for a walk, get some vitamin D. I think that just might help you combat your exhaustion. Thank you guys for letting me talk your ear off today. Wowzers, this might be the longest podcast episode yet, but I appreciate you listening. And I'll talk to you guys soon.